tune did not fit the message, that may be it. I was sitting there thinking, what words? Those are tremendous words. Boundless as the universe around me. This love beyond our human comprehending. This wonderful love. I don't know that might not be better sung the tune of Holy, Holy, Holy or something. I don't know. But it might be a good reason to do without instruments. But it was written, and we can. I hope you feel that way. It's wonderful to me. It's wonderful. It's solemn. It's joyful, but it's wonderful. Christ loved his people. Well, I asked you to turn over to those three little books, but first of all, I want you to turn, just put a marker there where those Hosea and Joel and Amos are. And turn to the book of Deuteronomy, first of all. Deuteronomy, that last book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the fifth book. I hope the Lord will bless this message and the presentation of it as he did the study of it. Rain coming down. How we need the rain so desperately. Look here, I want to read a few verses from here in Deuteronomy 11. Begin with verse 13. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, the Lord speaking, Moses writing, if it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 11:13. If you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, primarily to love the Lord your God and to serve him, worship him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle. Notice how everything depends upon that rain. Grass for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. This is the only condition for the rain. If you do, then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he'll shut up heaven that there'll be no more rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now God said in Malachi 3:6, he said, I am the Lord. I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. And the same Lord God who gave or withheld the rain from his people in days of old, this rain that is so vital for sustaining life upon this earth, the same God who gave it or withheld it back then is the same God who doesn't give it right now. And I believe, I'm certain, that the reasons and the purposes are much the same why he withholds it now. You see, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Do you remember just a couple of months ago when the rain was so abundant? It was raining so abundantly and the trees and the grass and the flowers and our gardens were growing so well. Things were so beautifully green and healthy. You remember that? I wonder how many people were thanking God for that rain then. How many people? If any. On the contrary, I believe, many people were probably complaining about too much rain.
Right? Complaining. And it's still true, as it was back then, against those murmuring Jews, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. Surely anybody should be able to tell now that it is God and God alone that can give rain, that the rain which sustains our very beings must come from God Himself. Surely, only a fool will acknowledge now that God must give the rain. Only a fool would not acknowledge that now. Right? Because that which may be known of God is manifest. It's clear from the rain. Something that's clear to see is the rain. God showed it unto them. God gives it unto us. But the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. But when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. When the rain was raining, nobody was a-thanking and a-praising. So God says, all right, no more rain. That's what He did then. And I'm just certain He's doing the same thing now. The same thing. You say, does God judge men now like He did then? Oh, yes, I just quoted to you, same God. And men sure haven't changed a lick, have they? Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Turn over there. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Of course He does. Of course God judges sin. He still hates sin. He's still angry with the wicked every day. He hasn't changed a bit. He still hates sin. And droughts and famines and earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and pestilence and diseases like AIDS are the judgment of God against this wicked and untoward generation. No doubt about it. It's a charge. Only a fool would not see this. Only a fool would say, no God. Or somebody who doesn't read the Bible. And now God withholds this life-giving rain, and are men calling upon Him? I don't even think we are asking Him for it. A general rebuke to us. Elijah, the Scripture says, Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed that the rain would stop, and then he prayed that it stopped, and the Lord started it. Maybe we ought to be praying for some rain. I know we should. But this is not the rain I'm speaking of, going to speak of this morning and dwell on. But look here at Jeremiah chapter 5. Look at verse 21. He says, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. That's exactly what Paul was saying there in Romans 1 about people not got eyes and ears and don't see and understand or hear the voice of God in creation. Ignorant. Verse 23, he says, this people has a revolting and rebellious heart. They revolted. They are revolted and gone. They've all gone astray, gone their own way. Look at verse 24. Look at this. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain. Both the former and the latter, spring rain and summer rain, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. The Lord of harvest, that's His name in a joke. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things. And your sins have withholden good things from you. Man is responsible to praise and acknowledge this God, else God cuts off these things, right? Oh yeah, He's same God. Same God. And now God withholds this life-giving rain from us. And you see why, Rick, I was saying, I hope it doesn't rain till after this message. Turn over now to Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 4. It's the same now as it was in the beginning. God is the Creator, and we are the creature. And the Creator demands and deserves and expects all honor, glory, and service from the creature. He expects the creature to serve Him, to acknowledge Him in everything. Still the same. The Creator expects this, demands it from the creature, right? Yet the creature still rebels against this God. And the same God who judged the earth with rain in the flood sent rain, an abundance of rain, to wipe them out, is the same God now that withholds the rain in judgment. And you know, someday the Scriptures talk about the earth being burned with a fervent heat. We call it the greenhouse effect. I'm not so sure. I'm not a man of prophecy. But I'm just not so sure that He ain't burning this thing up right now. I'm not so sure. Nobody can prove that wrong, can they? Men call it the greenhouse effect. What caused it? Our iniquitous ways. Well, look at this. What about God's people in the midst of all that? Look at Amos chapter 4. Look at verse 6. He said, I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet you haven't returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I've withholding the rain from you. 3 months to the harvest. What's your corn look like? Got a good 3 months left, doesn't it? Or two? 3 months to the harvest. I caused it not to rain, or not to rain, but I caused it to rain one city. Old Henry got some rain the other day. Nobody else got a lick. Caused it to rain this city and that city. Now, this is a picture of the gospel. The gospel is just in a few places. One piece it rained, two or three cities, verse 8, wandered unto one city to drink water. They weren't satisfied. Yet you have not returned unto me. I've smitten you. Pestilence, verse 10, and so forth. I ask this question, what about God's people in the midst of all this? What about God's people? Well, the children of Israel were God's people, weren't they? They were typical of God's people. Though chosen, set apart, miraculously preserved and sustained by God, yet they continued to sin and rebel against this kind hand of God, didn't they? And we ain't one speck different than they are. That's what one of us was saying, I think it was Roberta, was saying this morning. We do more complaining than we do praising. Ought not we expect our gardens to dry up too? Do we deserve a rain? We don't deserve it any more than anybody else does. No, we don't. We're no different than they. There's none, there's still none good, no, not one. None that doeth good, no, none righteous. We're all gone astray. We still go our own way for the most part. We're still unprofitable servants. We're still prodigal sons who wander far from the Father and do not acknowledge Him. And though never forsaken as His children, and never forsaken, and David said, I've never seen them begging bread. None of us now are going to go hungry in here. We're going to suffer. Like everybody else. Here we are. But we're every day under the rod of affliction and chastening. Now listen, here's the difference between the child of God and the child of the wicked one. The Canaanite, that's Cain, the children of Cain, children of this world, they say, this is more than I can bear, and raise up their fist in God's face. What do you mean doing this to me? I don't deserve this. Like Cain said, more than my punishment's more than I can bear. Why is God doing this? The children of Israel say, I'm getting what I deserve. Right? Listen. If anything, maybe just to point us, to turn us back, like we just read, just turn us back, to call upon it. Like I said, how many of us have even asked for rain? Well, you see, God is still merciful, though, and gracious to us in spite of the fact that our sins have separated us from our God. Now look over here at our text in Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Just two books back from Amos there. Hosea chapter 6. This is our text. God is still merciful to His people and gracious to us, still. And He, though our sins have separated us from Him and hidden His face from us, and He commands the chastening rod, yet He'll never leave us. He'll never leave us completely. We'll never dry up completely. Although we do go through those droughts. You see, the only hope of anybody, wicked, God's people, or anybody, the only hope of anybody is that God in mercy and grace will condescend to pour out the blessings of heaven upon us. Will condescend to rain righteousness, to rain mercy, have mercy upon us, right? It's got to come down from above. It's got to. God only, He's the only one who has it. And we desperately need it to give us eternal life. Mercy, grace, righteousness, every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. He's got it. And everybody is at his mercy for these gifts. Everybody. And our only hope lies in the mercy and grace of God. And the only hope that anybody has is if we turn from our sin and ourselves to the living God, that God will come to us in our misery and pour out the blessings, give us showers of blessing on us. Now look here at Hosea chapter 6 with me. Hosea 6 verse 1. So come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn. It's God that breaks the heart. It's God that gives repentance, the goodness of God. He'll heal you. If He gives, He'll accept what He gives. It's God that will heal us and has smitten us. And He'll bind us up. And after two days, He'll revive us again. He says, come, let us return. The message is still the same. We had this message last Sunday morning. It's the same, man. It always will be the same. Repent. Right? And we still need repentance. We need to repent of the fact we don't repent. We need to repent of our self-righteousness. Not only our sin, but our self-righteousness. How many this morning have begged God Almighty to have mercy upon your soul? It's still the same, Joe. Every day His mercies are new every morning. We need His mercy every morning. We need to be calling upon it. That's the rain that we're speaking of here. The message is still the same after all these years. It was the same from the first prophet until now. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and come to Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see Him in a minute as the rain that comes down. Christ Himself as the rain. Listen to this, just a couple of books over. Well, you got to turn over here. Keep your place there in Hosea. Turn over to Joel, just a few pages over. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. He says, thus saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping, with mourning, rend your hearts. God requires a heart that seeks after Him. A broken heart, not a head. A heart. A heart. Rend your heart, not your garments. Give me your heart, my son. Give me your heart, not your head, not your body in the pew. Give me your heart. Rend your hearts. Turn unto the Lord your God. He's gracious and merciful. Look at it. Slow to anger and of great kindness. And repenteth Him of evil. Who knows if He'll return and repent and leave a blessing. Who knows? And I ask you, and surely everybody in here, I ask you, do you hunger and thirst after Christ? Do you hunger and thirst after Him who is righteousness? He said you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you? Do you? Are you in a dry and parched land, or is this water of this life satisfying to you? Some people are real satisfied here. God's people are pilgrims. This is a dry and thirsty land to them. It's a wilderness area, this land. Look, let me read this to you. Over Deuteronomy 11, I didn't read this to you, but he said to the people, he said, the land you go in to possess, it's not like Egypt. You remember when he said about Moses, he said, Moses came out of Egypt. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater treasure, greater than all the treasures of Egypt. Remember that? Moses had, he was going to be made royalty. Moses had all the treasures of Egypt at his disposal. Egypt in all its glory. This is Egypt. This world is Egypt. And God said to Moses and the people, he said, the land you go in to possess, it's not like Egypt. Egypt, he says they watered it with their foot. In other words, they irrigated it. They could just dig down a little bit and it'd be water and irrigate it and so forth. He says, but the land you go in to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Ups and downs. Rugged, not the well-watered plains of Jordan. You live up in the mountains, scraggly. Up one day and down the next. Hills and valleys. And he says, listen to this. It's a land that must drink the water of heaven for its sustenance. And a land which the Lord God cares for, though. He's the one that tends it. His eyes are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end. Isn't that beautiful? That's the life of a believer. But this is the wilderness we live in here. A wilderness area. Mountainous, rugged terrain. Tough place to live. I ask you, do you hunger and thirst after Christ and His righteousness? Are you in a wilderness here? Is this, you consider this place of tribulation? Can you say with David, can you say this? God, you're my God. You're my God. Early will I seek Thee because my soul thirsteth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land. I thirst for You. My flesh longs for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Or do you find water here? The promises are to the thirsty. Revelation 21:17 is to the thirsty. Come and drink. That's to the thirsty. Water doesn't have any interest. People aren't thirsty. I'm thirsty right now. Boy, it's good. You may not be thirsty. You may not care to have a drink. I needed it. It satisfied. The water of this world doesn't satisfy. Only Christ and His righteousness satisfy. Are you thirsty for Him? I believe some of you are. But not all. But not all. Can you say with David, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Can you say that? If you can't, you haven't seen God. You've seen yourself in your own condition drying up. Are you crying unto God now, Christ, for Christ, the water of life, to come down upon you? Are you? You see, Jesus Christ is the water of life. He's the rain that must come down from heaven. Look at this. He's the rain. Isaiah 45:8 says this. Let me just read this to you. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour forth righteousness. That's Christ. Let them pour forth righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let our hearts open up and receive Him. And let and bring salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. And God sent Christ. He said in another place there in Isaiah chapter 50, if I can find it. Isaiah 50. He says, I'm over here in the wrong place. Isaiah 50. Can I find it? He said He sends rain down. The Lord God sends rain down upon His people. I can't find it. But He says Christ is that rain that comes down from heaven. If anybody's thirsty, He rains upon them. He rains upon them. And look here in Hosea chapter 6 with me. He says, after 2 days, and I think this is alludes to our Lord, His death and His resurrection. Look at this. This will be a blessing to you now if you look at it. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. He says, after 2 days, he'll revive us. How long we lived in this? What is our day right now? About 2,000 years after Christ. Second day. Day is 1,000 years. 2 days! God in His mercy and grace has revived the people through the preaching of this gospel. In the third day, when Christ arose, He'll raise us up. In the third day, He'll raise, and we'll live in His sight. In another day, we don't know what a day will bring forth, but one more day, Stan, about all we got. One more day, we're going to live, live, in His sight, with Him. Why? Well, you'll know. Verse 3, look at it. You'll know, if you want to know, if you follow on to know, if you ask and seek and knock and look and wait for Him, for His coming, like Brother Jim preached, you'll know His going forth has been prepared as the morning. Look at this. And He'll come unto us as rain. Rain from heaven. Rain. And He did. If you know Him, you know that He came to you, didn't He? You'll know. You didn't come to Him. You didn't seek after Him, did you? You didn't call upon Him. He called upon you. He chose you. You'll know. If He came to you, you'll know where He came from above. Your salvation. You'll know that He was prepared from the foundation of the world, that lamb slain, that sacrifice, that eternal justification we so desperately need. That sacrifice that God must accept. And one we must have, His righteousness. You'll know that He was the one prepared for us. And He must come to us in the form of the gospel. It's rain. You ever had these showers of blessings on you? On your head? It's raining this morning. He called it the former rain. Look at it. As the latter and the former rain. Christ is the first and the last. Amen. The former rain. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then in time, He came to actually be slain. He's eternal salvation and He's present salvation. He'll be future salvation. Former and the latter rain. He's the rain. He's salvation then. He's salvation now. He'll be salvation in the end. He'll keep us through. He'll sustain us. He sustained us when we first believed. He'll sustain us to the end. Spring rain, summer rain, fall rain. He'll reign upon us. He reigns and rules. The sun shines and God reigns. Well, in closing, let me turn over here to 1 Kings. Look over here at 1 Kings with me. You know the story of how old Elijah prayed because of the wickedness of the people, King Ahab in particular, because Ahab did more wickedly than anybody else. Any other king before him, the scripture said. And Elijah, faithful man of God, prayed. He prayed to God that God would stop the rain because of the iniquity of the people. Show them. Why did he do that? Well, God had an event that's about to take place here in 1 Kings 18. You remember when the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove and this one prophet of God stood upon that Mount Carmel and they offered their sacrifices respectively? Why did all this take place? Elijah said, now they want to know who God is. Do you remember how I started this message out? Why does God do anything? That men everywhere will see who He is and fall down before Him and worship Him, right? That's the reason He does everything. He does everything for His glory. He saved you for His name's sake. Now glorify it. And here in 1 Kings 18, Jesus Christ is right now seated in mercy and grace and forgiveness. He's right now pouring out showers of saving blessings. Right now, this morning, He's pouring out showers of blessings into some people. Right now, blessings, and they're free. He said, rain. People that are drying on the stalk. I'm looking in the face of, there's a few, some dried up ears that just dying. I've used this illustration before. People that go on extended hunger fasts. They fast, go without food for a long time. After a while, they get to thinking they don't need it. That's when they're about to die. You listen to what I'm saying now? That's when death is about set in. When they think they're all right. And they're emaciated and sick. And everybody can see it but them. I'm okay. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen them, people on TV. It's true. You go without food so long, you'll finally don't think you need it. Isn't that true? Any of these nurses that know anything about these hunger strikes? And I see some people that are flat, just brown, dried up stalks, ready to die. And it's raining right now.
The gospel is coming forth here right now.
On the hit. Oh, my soul. That rich man in hell one day, he lifted up his eyes and said, "Just a drought!" Didn't he? Say it's old-fashioned for what you're preaching this morning, begging people. There's going to come a time, buddy, when a drop. Let me hear that gospel one more time. Just once, I'll believe it. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we try to persuade men, but God must do it. I can't do it, no matter what, tears, anger, whatever. God's got to do it, doesn't he? Well, look here at 1 Kings 18, verse 41 with me. You know how that God destroyed all those prophets of the groves and prophets of Baal and so forth? And oh, Ahab, evidently Ahab got a little religion. Ahab was the most wicked fella around. Said he did worse than anybody before. Any Ahabs in here? As me. As me. Yet God showed mercy. But look at what the prophet comes to Ahab. In spite. You know, it didn't rain because of his wickedness. Now God sends a prophet to him in spite of himself and says, "Oh, I'm going to rain one more time. One more time. You going to hear it?" Look at it. Verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get up! Eat! Believe Christ. Eat! Get up! Come to Christ. Believe, and your soul shall live. Eat, get up. It's a sound of abundance of rain." You hear it? You hear it? So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Verse 42. And Elijah came up. Elijah went up. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and what did he do? He went up and fell down and started praying. Cast himself down upon the earth. Put his face between his knees. That's good advice right there. Get a home in your closet before God and ask him to rain. Ask him to send the rain. I'm not talking about now. I'm not talking about water. Ask him to make it rain upon you, your soul, your parched, dry soul. So Ahab went up. That could be you or me coming to hear the gospel. He went up. He came and heard it. He came up. He went up to hear. And old Elijah went down on his knees in prayer. And you know, look at this. The message didn't... Ahab came, but the message wasn't to him. It's to his servant. Perhaps I got somebody in mind right now that the message isn't for them, it's for somebody else. Hey, and Elijah said to his servant, verse 43, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And that's what we're preaching every time we stand up. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Look toward the sea. Remember Bob preaching about Christ as the sea? Look toward the sea. That vast body of water, that fountain that all water comes from. You see, all water comes from the sea, really. It evaporates up and it comes down. Christ the sea. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, I don't see anything.
I don't see anything.
We had a good message this morning. I didn't hear anything. Well, go 7 times. Go back tonight. 7 times. And it came to pass. Finally, he said, verse 44, I see a little cloud. A little cloud. I believe it ain't much. Little cloud. And it looks like a man's hand. All I see, I don't know much, preacher. I've come to this much, though. I see my need of him. I see that I'm in his hands. That's about all I know right now. Boy. He said, go up then. Prepare your chariot. She's really going to rain. Get down and get in your house. Go home and rest. Rains are coming. See that little cloud? Ah, boy. It'll break with blessings upon your head. Verse 45, so it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ah, boy, there's some people in here, some young people in particular, that if God would save their souls, it's so obvious right now, they don't know Him. If God would save their soul, it'd be a great thing. Oh, it'd be a great rain. It's going to take a great rain. Same great rain might save some young prodigal in here like it did this one. Same great rain. Oh, God, let's pray for rain. And literally, let's pray for rain. We need rain. No, I mean literally we need some rain. It says Elijah was a man of like passions, and he prayed, and it rained. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let's pray for chiefly for God's blessings upon us, His mercy and His grace and His salvation fall upon us and our children. And then let's pray for it to rain on our crops. I'd like to have some maters. Some maters. Joe, let's sing that song. Let's see. It's hymn number 349. Showers of blessing. Mercy drops round us a-falling. Oh, for the showers. We plead. Joe, you come up here and lead us in this. 349 is the number. 349. Let's stand as we sing this. Oh, just a couple of verses.
Sing the first and the last. First and the last. 349. Showers we clean. There shall be showers.